The computer wasn't okay. with so many, we have 17 down in Caldwell, Ohio, doing mission work down there. And so we're looking forward to them arrive back later this afternoon. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, the task is great, and the purpose is good. Grant us grace and holy power to preach Christ, teach Christ, and live Christ in this generation. Oh, how they need Christ and his forgiving and redeeming good news. Unleash the power of prayer. Unsheath the sword of the Spirit. Call us to prayer. Call us to prayer. Call us to prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praying as the church is to be as high a priority as preaching and teaching. Praying as the church brings about the moving of God in a way that does not happen unless the church prays. Praying as the church in prayer meetings is the life heartbeat of the church's ministry power. Will you come to prayer meetings? Will you pray with your brothers and sisters in Christ to see the mighty hand of God bring about something amazing through us here at Faith in Christ? Will you get on your knees and plead in prayer for God to transform hearts, transform lives, bring Holy Spirit revival into our midst? Will you? God has sovereignly conferred on the church the privilege of prayer, so that his mighty works will increase. For God has given us the great privilege of praying to bring about transforming power. This is what God has put into place in the working of his will, the people of God as the church. Pray that the people of God call upon him. And when the people of God as the church pray, things happen that individual prayer cannot accomplish. Remember, it was the 120 praying together as one heart in the upper room when the Holy Spirit descended at Pentecost. They were praying together as the great supernatural moment that God came and God filled them and God dwelled in them. Remember, it was those 120 gathered in prayer who cried out to the Lord after Peter and John were released and told never to preach in Jesus' name again. The group raised their voices together. It is recorded in Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 24. When they heard this, that is the threats, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against them and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They were praying together, lifting their voices as the body, the church, to Almighty God. God heard. God responded. As it continues in Acts chapter 4, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They prayed for the gospel to be proclaimed with boldness. That is what we need to do too. We find it easy to pray, Lord, heal us. Lord, help us. May we find it just as easy to pray, Lord, sanctify us. To pray, Lord, save the lost through us. To pray, Lord, turn our eyes to the things of the kingdom and unleash our prayers to bring life-saving and life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost souls. As you heard this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, as Paul was concluding his first letter, he gave final instructions. And in the middle of that, you will find pray continually. It is sandwiched between be joyful always and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Each follower of Jesus Christ is to pray continually. But this instruction in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is for the community, the body of Christ, the church, is to pray continually. It is a command that the assembly of the believers pray continually. The action word prayer is in the plural form. It means everybody pray. And the modifying adverb continually takes the form of a command, essential to the life of the church, to bring about the things of God. Later on, Paul writes in verse 25, he asked the church to pray for him and those with him. And it's the same verbiage as used earlier in verse 17. And then verse 27, Paul solemnly commands by the Lord that this letter to be read in the church. The assembly of the believers is where the letter is to be read. In worship, the letter is to be read. And there, the believers will hear Paul's instruction to pray as the church without ceasing. Pray. Always rejoice. Continually pray is the order it is in the Greek. Prayer is important. Prayer freed Peter. As we heard in Acts chapter 12, King Herod began to take action against the church. The apostle James was executed. The Jews cheered that action of Herod. And to gain more favor, Herod arrests Peter. He seizes Peter, throws him in jail, because Peter is known to be the leader of the 12 and leader of the followers of Jesus. This was during the time of unleavened bread, meaning the time of preparation for Passover, where you get all the leaven out of the house. Like the whole time of Holy Week was the time of unleavened bread before Passover. So that's when Peter is seized. Pay close attention, Acts chapter 12, verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Yes, Peter is in prison. But the church was earnestly praying. There's a foreshadowing taking place right there. Foreshadowing that the church, earnestly praying, is about to bring something big. Peter's in prison, but the church is earnestly praying to God. Peter was in a place that the church could not physically do anything about. Four squads of four soldiers each guarded Peter. At night, Peter was bound with chains between two soldiers. Sentries stood at the doors of all the entrances. The church was helpless in its own ability and strength. But listen carefully, the church was not hopeless. For there is a living God, and the church can pray. Place yourself into the emotions of the early church. One of the three of Jesus' inner circle, James, is dead. Peter, the other one of that inner three of Jesus' circle, he's arrested and imprisoned, guarded. John is who you have left. Pray. Pray. Pray for Peter. The church is in intense and earnest praying together, morning, noon, night, through the night, next morning, through the day, dusk comes, and the church is praying. Moment by moment becomes hours, hours become days, and the church is praying to God for Peter. During the night, an angel of the Lord fills the cell with light. Peter! Wake up! Peter, get up! And I just have this image in my mind, the angel's there with either a staff nudging him, or more point to the point, get up with a good kick from the foot. Wake up, Peter! Quick, get up! And as Peter stands up, and he raises his arms up, the chains just fall away. Peter, get dressed, the angel says. Peter, put on your cloak. Follow me. Peter, follow me. And Peter follows the angel past the first guard. Now passes the second guards. Peter thinks it's a vision. But then they come to the gate. And it just opens. No one touches it. No one unlocks it. It just opens. And Peter follows the angel into the street of Jerusalem. And down the street they go together. And just as suddenly, the angel leaves Peter. Peter's alone. And all of a sudden, an awareness comes. I'm in the city street. And he starts walking, and he starts running, and he just... I know, I'm going to go to the house of John Mark, Mary's house. The church is there. But he didn't know the church was gathered in prayer. He just goes to the place of meeting. And Peter knocks on the outer entrance, and Rhoda comes and asks, "Who's there?" "It's me, Peter!"
And in her excitement, she just runs back. I think that's just funny. I mean, she just leaves him locked outside in the street. He's in danger if someone sees him there. And she goes back and tells the people as they're praying, she interrupts the prayer meeting. Now, that's a good reason to interrupt a prayer meeting. As they're praying for Peter, God, help Peter. Rhoda comes running in. Peter's outside. And they didn't believe her. They thought she was crazy. No, I'm telling you the truth. Peter's outside at the gate. And then it dawns on them. Herod must have killed him. It's his angel. It's his spirit. Herod killed James. Now Herod has Peter. And Rhoda just keeps saying, no, I heard him. And then they hear the pounding at the gate. And they get up and they go to the gate. Can you imagine the excitement and the joy? Peter says, quiet down. I have to tell you how the Lord brought him out of prison. And now he, Peter, must immediately leave Jerusalem. Tell James that James is the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. The James that becomes the leader of the Jerusalem church. Tell James and the others all that took place. Now, can you imagine the commotion in the palace and the jail the next morning? Where's Peter? Search for Peter. Now you go find him. And Herod is livid with anger. His plans were destroyed. And he gets the guards and executes them. Throughout the Bible, recorded in God's holy word, and throughout history of the church after the time the Bible was written, there is a consistent testimony and witness, solemn assemblies of prayer set extraordinary events into motion. Renewal, revival come because of prayer gatherings. They happen because the church prays together. Brothers and sisters, the time is urgent and the need is great. We, as the church, need to pray. There is a dynamo in this congregation that gets together consistently on a Tuesday morning to pray as sisters in Christ. These three wonder women have been praying together for years. Karen, Thelma, and Sandra are doing a great work as they pray together. The three are a blessing from God. And the Lord is working through their prayers. We've seen it and we know it. Now, I invite you to be a part of prayer. Powerful, mountain-moving prayer. Powerful, life-transforming prayer. Prayer where the Holy Spirit, the supernatural indwelling of God, stirs our heart to even greater burden for the lost and for the forsaken, a greater burden for the broken who need Jesus Christ. That is what the larger content of our prayer is to be. For the kingdom of Jesus Christ to grow by people being redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Programs done well, done good fashion, they can grow participation and attendance. But it is power-filled prayer. Really listen carefully.
It is power-filled prayer that redeems and transforms. It is not programs. It is the power of God. This is to make us fully aware that redeeming and transforming of a soul is something that only God can do. We can do programs, and we can serve people well. But for the kingdom of Jesus Christ to grow, it happens by people being redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And it comes about by the church praying together. Life and souls, whether they come to life or stay in their death, is in your hands. Life and death of a soul is in our hands, whether we pray for the gospel of Jesus Christ to grow and expand through us to redeem dead souls. You, brothers and sisters, have the great opportunity to be an essential part of bringing life to the dead souls lost in sin by being the church and praying for God to redeem and expand the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Praying as the church is to be as high a priority as preaching and teaching. Praying as the church brings about the moving of God in ways that does not happen unless the church prays together. Praying as the church in prayer meetings is the life and heartbeat of the church's ministry. It is the power of the ministry. Will you come to prayer meetings? Will you pray with your brothers and sisters in Christ to see the mighty hand of God bring about something amazing through us here at Faith in Christ? Will you get on your knees and plead in prayer for God to transform hearts, to transform lives, to bring Holy Spirit revival into our midst? Will you pray together? If you will, the greatest moving of God you have ever experienced is coming. I'm going to say that again. If you will gather as the church and pray together, the greatest moving of God you have ever experienced is coming. Get ready. Be prepared. God is about to do something great here. It's coming. I know it is coming. I just know it. We need to pray. As the church, together, we need to pray. Brothers, men of faith in Christ, will you pray together? Sisters, women of faith in Christ, will you pray together? Brothers and sisters in Christ, will you pray together as the church? Faith in Christ, I'm calling us to prayer. Calling us to pray together. In a moment we will pray. But right now, I invite you to learn to pray in a new way, perhaps. It's with your hands open and uplifted. And it's with your head looking to the heavens. Eyes can be closed, eyes can be open. But it's looking to where your help will come from. For my help will come from the Lord. It's where the Lord dwells, our source of strength, power, everything we need. And so with hands open, uplifted, it's like expecting to receive. And with your whole focus to the Lord as you pray, knowing that your ability and strength is not enough. You need the very power of God. So I invite you to rise. Please rise now. If it feels funny, let it feel funny, but place your hands in front of you. Palms open up. I close my eyes, so I won't be looking at what you're doing. But really, just lift your eyes to the heavens. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open the heavens again and shake this place with your power. Forgive us for relying on our ability and our resources more than turning to you and praying together for your power. Teach us to pray and wait upon you. Infuse us with Holy Spirit indwelling, transforming us into a church that with boldness and compassion witnesses powerfully to the reality of Jesus Christ. Open our eyes to see your glory. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.